Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cover Zero podcast, the show where I cover the least in the best way possible. I'm your host, Jason Wells. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd. The NFL draft is officially here. If you know that noise, you should know that noise. It's honestly, that's somehow one of like my favorite sounds. If you can have favorite sounds, it is the your team is on the clock. NFL draft music. The NFL draft is just one of my favorite times of the year. And again, it might be because I'm a Dolphins fan and the regular season is usually painful and meaningless and nothing really happens. And the draft is where you can rebuild your identity, rebuild what makes your team great, try to get better anyways. I don't know. I love the draft. I can't wait for Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun. This episode, though, will be the final mock draft episode. I've been trying to tweak out, figure out what my final mock is going to be, and I still haven't done it. I will be doing it live when I'm recording this because I still have no idea. I'm not going to do trades because no trades have happened yet, but I'll talk about trades with teams that might move up, move down, etc., etc. And as always, we will start off with NFL weekly update. Not a ton happening because obviously it's draft season. There's no signings, there's no anything. So we'll get into it. Going to be a good episode. I can't wait for the draft. So let's just get into the episode here. We'll start off with NFL weekly update. Only four items on the docket today. Starting off with a couple more retirements. Tyron Smith, the longtime Cowboys left tackle, is done calling it quits after a 14-year career. Was a five-time All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, made the 2010s All-Decade team. Yeah, Tyron Smith was just one of the better left tackles of the 2010s. I mean, clearly, because he made the All-Decades team. Super athletic, obviously had his ups and downs with injury, but like when he was healthy on the field, you'd be hard to find a better left tackle in the league. It's just, it is too bad he played for the Cowboys, because there were years where those Cowboys teams were absolutely, I'm not going to say stacked, but like they were built to win, except there was a few minor things that why they didn't win, whether it be coaching, bad quarterback play, or Jerry just being a bad GM in general. But Tyron Smith was, I'd say he was probably on the best offensive line of that decade, that Cowboys offensive line. Let me try. It would have been Tyron Smith, Zach Martin. Those are two future Hall of Famers right there. Travis Frederick, shortened career, but he's a Cover Zero Hall of Very Good member. Was it Lael Collins at right guard and then at right tackle? I don't remember. Either way, Tyron Smith, hell of a career, future Hall of Famer. Yeah, we'll keep going. Another tackle retirement from the league. Ryan Ramczyk has called it a career after only eight seasons. But in those 8 years, he was a three-time All-Pro. Didn't make a Pro Bowl. And this is kind of where when Tyron Smith first got drafted and then like the Pro Bowls and stuff, like that's when Pro Bowls still kind of mattered. Obviously, it was still a fan vote, but it seemed like it was an accurate fan vote. And now it's just all over the place. So like the fact that Ryan Ramczyk was a three-time All-Pro but never made a Pro Bowl in his career makes absolutely no sense to me. Will be a Hall of Very Good nominee at some point. Maybe it's this coming offseason. That is right around the corner. That's going to get started in June, by the way. Unfortunately, just injury shortened his career. I think it was a knee issue that just was kept lingering, needed more surgery, and then it's just kind of is what it is. It sucks to have your career end that way, but again, at his peak, he was one of the best tackles in the league, and I'm sure that he is happy with that. Next note up, Cam Jurgens, the Eagles center, gets a four-year, $68 million deal with 39.4 of that guaranteed. Yeah, the Eagles just keep keep keeping on. Like, they're just able to pay everyone. The fact that they're able to go from Jason Kelsey, who was there for 13 years, I mean, again, Hall of Famer, to Cam Jurgens, who looks like he's going to be pretty damn good, too. That contract puts him as the second highest paid center in the league, just $1 million behind Creed Humphrey from the Chiefs. Honestly, like, the way that Howie Roseman's building this team is very, very impressive. Like, they've locked everyone up. I'm just trying to think of who's gotten. So Cam Jurgens got a big deal. Lane Johnson has a big contract. Jordan Mailata has a big contract. Landon Dickerson has a big contract. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Saquon, Jalen Hurts. Anyone else on that defense? That defense is very young. I don't think they're really paying anyone on the defense yet. I mean, there's going to be a couple guys that they're going to have to come, but they're just pushing all that money back. They're kind of taking a play out of Mickey Loomis's playbook, the Saints GM, who you can see how that's working out for them. But I think I read that like 2029 is the year where everything's going to come up for the Eagles. But by 2029, they could have another 2-3 Super Bowl rings. Like, I have no idea. They're built really well. Simple as that. But shout out to Cam Jurgens for getting that money. And final note here, Trey White is back in Buffalo, signing a 1-year deal with the Bills. I think it's up to like $6 million. He's not going to hit those incentives, let's be real. It's a nice reunion, though. Obviously, Trey White will probably be a Hall of Very Good nominee at some point, but at one point, one of the best corners in the league. But again, injuries happen, and corner is one of those positions where it's very, very easy to fall off immediately. Like, I mean, like, there's some years where, oh, that guy's a top five corner in the league, and the next year it's like, ah, that guy, oh, I don't want him starting. Which is crazy, but no, injuries were the reason why Trey White kind of fell off a little bit, and now he's, I don't want to say he's cooked, because that's rude, but I kind of just did. Either way, vet mentorship, vet leadership, the fan base loves him. I'm sure that they're happy to just have him back in the building in general. Doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of, like, actual what it means for the Bills roster. It's just happy to have a guy back who's probably going to finish his career as a Bill now. And yeah, that's it for the NFL Weekly Update. Again, I said it was going to be a shorter one. So yeah, we can get on to my final mock draft of the year. We are the closest to the start of the draft where no first round picks have been traded. And again, we're 2 days out at this point, as time of recording. As you're listening to this, we're 1 day out. You better be listening on Wednesday when I drop it. I mean, I said it in the intro. I'm not good at mock any trades. Obviously, trades are going to happen, and, like, there's a bunch of rumors circling and swirling that, like, oh, teams might jump up. So, like, I will address some rumors and whatnot, but I want to talk about every team, so I will talk about every team. No trades, going to be fairly simple, straightforward anyway, so let's just get into it, I guess. Starting off with the first overall pick, cut and dry, we've known who this is going to be for months. It is Cam Ward out of Miami. Again, if you've been a listener, you know my thoughts on Cam Ward. I think he has the traits that could make him, like, a good starter in the league. I just don't think it's going to work out. Like, if I was the Titans GM, I would be taking Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter and just kind of like, okay, we're punting on this year. Because even then, I don't think Cam Ward is going to make this team much better. Like, this is already a Titans roster in general that just isn't strong. Like, they need more defenders other than Jeffrey Simmons. They need more weapons, I was going to say, other than blank, but they don't have. Like Calvin Ridley, that doesn't really count. But Cam Ward's the guy. I won't spend a lot of time on this. Again, I hope it works out. I'm not cheering for him to fail, obviously. I just don't see it. I don't get it. So we will keep going. At number two, another pick that the Browns, it's been no secret what they want to do. They want Travis Hunter. Andrew Berry, the GM, compared him to Shohei Ohtani and what he could be. And again, if he does and if he plays like elite on both sides of the ball, yeah, the Shohei comparisons are absolutely valid. At this point, we need to still see it. But yeah, Travis Hunter, my number one player in the draft. Again, he's a generational prospect. You don't find many guys who are elite wide receivers while also being elite cornerbacks. That literally never happens. And so he goes to the Browns, where he'll be paired up with Jerry Jeudy on offense, Denzel Ward on defense. That's nice. He has someone who can mentor him on both sides of the ball. And Travis Hunter has made it very, very clear. He wants to play on both sides of the ball. Like, obviously, and we'll see what teams do or what the Browns do, where maybe it'll be like you're on defense and we'll have you on like a lot of packages on offense. But we'll see. I think he can play full-time both sides. Teams might try to ease him into it because it is the NFL. It is much, much harder than college football. My only worry about Travis Hunter is him going to Cleveland, because you know who has the most draft busts this century? It's the Cleveland Browns. And wouldn't it be the most Cleveland thing ever for them to take Travis Hunter, be like, ah, we got this generational guy, he's going to be elite for us on both sides of the ball, and even if, hey, he'll be elite for us on one side of the ball if, like, the two-side thing doesn't work out. The fact that, like, I have that worry where he might just be a bust in Cleveland just because he's going to Cleveland, it is a little ridiculous, but it's a thought I have in my head, so got to address it. Giants up at number three. Kind of another pick that we all know is coming. It is Abdul Carter. Not a huge need. They have Brian Burns. They have Kayvon Thibodeau, who's like solid. He hasn't lived up to his draft billing yet. Having Abdul Carter kind of take over for Thibodeau, essentially, and Thibodeau come in rotational spots, and you still have Dexter Lawrence on the interior. That'll be a very, very fun pass rush for the Giants anyways. I said it. There's a lot of other player positions and needs, and Travis Hunter would have been the ideal fit for them. The offensive line is still like okay, and hopefully Andrew Thomas comes back fully healthy and he still plays like Andrew Thomas, but there's no quarterback. Like, we're not taking Shadur here. That's absolutely ridiculous. So they take Abdul Carter. They take one of three blue chip players, in my opinion. Peter Schrager put out today that the Browns and Giants have been looking for like trade offers for picks number 2 and 3. I think that's bullshit. I think it's just this time of year where, yeah, of course the Browns and Giants are going to do their due diligence. And it's like, hey, if you want to give us a boatload of picks to get Travis Hunter or to get Abdul Carter, by all means. I know the Niners are really interested in Abdul Carter. Some Niners beat reporter put out a rumor that, like, oh, the Niners might trade up to 4 if Abdul Carter is there. First of all, if Abdul Carter is there, the Patriots are taking him and they're walking away so happy. But, like, maybe the Giants, they make that swap and the Giants get, like, more picks. But if you're also Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, like, you got to pick the best player because you're already on the hot seat. Your jobs are on the line this year. So I just take the best player. Make it simple, easy enough. Next pick here, it will be Will Campbell out of LSU. He is the fairly heavy favorite to go at pick number 4. And yeah, I've talked about him. He's my number one offensive lineman in the class. I think he will be fine at left tackle. Like, again, he's held up in the SEC against elite competition for 3 straight years, and it wasn't until someone took out a tape measure and be like, oh, your arms might be a little short, where people started to worry about him. He's awesome. I fully believe that Will Campbell could be an outlier just because of arm size or whatever, even though when he measured in at his pro day, his arms met the threshold of the 33 inches. The whole measurement arm length thing, I don't know who fucked that up at the combine, but he should never be invited back because it was a shit show, and not just for Will Campbell, basically everyone. I think I was listening to some podcast and they said that Marcus Embeau from Purdue, who I really like, that at the Senior Bowl, between the combine and Senior Bowl, yeah, he lost like a full inch off his, like, and I don't know how, like, an inch is a lot when you're like only measuring like 33, 34 inches across, whatever it is. Like, and either way, I should be talking about the Patriots. So I think Will Campbell's going to be the guy. That gives them, honestly, a fairly, I was not going to say fairly strong, but it looks like, again, average, above average offensive line, where the Patriots the last 2 years have had the worst offensive line in the league. So they pick Will Campbell. It'll be Will Campbell left tackle, Cole Strange left guard, Garrett Bradbury at center, Michael Owenu at right guard, and then Morgan Moses at right tackle. That sounds pretty good. Obviously, there's still some room for improvement, but like, it's a lot better than a lot of teams' offensive lines in the league. Now, where things could differ or could change, again, I think it's Will Campbell, but let's just talk about other options, because other than the first three picks, those are locked in. Like, those are happening. Pick four, again, we can talk about it. I think that Armin Membu would still be in play here. Obviously, you have Morgan Moses at right tackle, but like, why can't he kick over to left tackle, do what Tristan Wirfs did? Obviously, Tristan Wirfs, it took him a couple years in the league playing right tackle and then switching over, but like, Membu is athletic enough to definitely make that transition and do it seamlessly. They also just need weapons for Drake May to throw to, because I don't think a 31-year-old Diggs coming off an ACL injury should be your number one weapon on an offense. And I think this is too early for Tet, in my opinion, but a guy like Ashton Jeanty, that sounds pretty nice. Like, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, they're just afterthoughts at this point. Getting, again, the last blue chip player in the draft, in my opinion, getting a elite running back would be fun, would help Drake May out a lot. But again, I think Will Campbell is the pick, so we can move on. Now, this is where the draft kind of starts. The Jags at number five. So, for the past couple months, few months anyways, I think that every mock that I've seen has just been Mason Graham to the Jags. Cut and dry, simple as that. And now, in the last week, it's been like, ooh, maybe it'll be Ashton Jeanty. And yeah, they need running backs. I have made it very clear, I don't like Travis Etienne. I don't think he, again, he's a good change of pace back, but in terms of like being a bell cow guy, I don't think he's that good. I think Tank Bigsby's like solid, but again, you can improve on that. And Ashton Jeanty would absolutely improve that. Liam Cohen, their new head coach, is obviously a big fan of the run game. We saw what he did with Bucky Irving and Rashad White and Sean Tucker last year. The run game was great, great. And then on terms of the other side of the ball, like, yeah, drafting a guy like Mason Graham, it makes a ton of sense. That run defense absolutely stinks. Mason Graham is the best defensive tackle in this draft. Putting him on the defensive line of Josh Hines-Allen, Trayvon Walker, and then Mason Graham, and Mason Smith, who they drafted out of LSU last year. They still have Eric Armstead, who looked very iffy, but again, they have options. And this is also where I was like, oh, maybe they're like, oh, we'll take Jeanty to drum up some trade interest for a team like the Bears or maybe the Cowboys or the Broncos have been rumored to trade up. That would be a huge trade up, though, to go get Ashton Jeanty ahead of the Raiders, because I do think that Jeanty will be the Raiders' pick. But again, no trades are happening. I think this would be a nice trade down spot, but the Jags also have a bunch of picks, so like, it would be tough. They have four picks in the first 90 picks, so they're doing pretty well. But again, no trades. They're going Mason Graham, and immediately helps their defense. I think the offense will be fine. Lots of other running backs and players to take later, so we'll keep going here. The Raiders at number six. I kind of, again, the Raiders need help everywhere. Whether that be running back, they need like a true number one receiver. I like Jacoby Myers. Like, he's really underrated, but he's not like a true number one outside guy. They need defenders. They need secondary. They need, like, they literally need everything on defense other than like edge and like one defensive tackle position. So it's like, could they go Membu? Ashton Jeanty's available. Do they go secondary with a guy like Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron? I kind of doubt it, but this is going to be Ashton Jeanty. I don't think it's kind of been no secret for the Raiders that like they love Jeanty and they need a running back, because right now their number one running back is Raheem Mostert. That's not great in the year 2025. So lots of room to improve, but like, make the identity of this team a run first team. Chip Kelly can do great stuff in the run games. It also makes me think that maybe they don't pick Jeanty and they take one of these Ohio State running backs in the second, whether that's Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins, just because of the Chip Kelly relationship there. But no, this is going to be Ashton Jeantee. I'm pretty sure John Spytek's son, the Raiders GM, basically said, like, if you don't draft Ashton Jeantee, like, I'm going to be mad at you forever. So, can't get his family mad at him. So, Ashton Jeantee off the board at number 6. To the Jets at number 7. This is, again, I think this is going to be a fairly easy pick, but we'll talk about other guys here. It's, again, Armen Membu. I think that's going to be the guy. And all of a sudden, that offensive line becomes, like, young and pretty solid to, oh, this could be one of the best offensive lines in the league if everyone plays up to their level. They drafted Olu Fashanu last year. He's now their starting left tackle. They have John Simpson, who they paid last year, solid right guard. Joe Tippmann at center, who they drafted in 2023, who I think he's been, like, pretty good. Elijah Vera Tucker is rock solid guard. And then you have Membu come in, natural position, right tackle, and boom, your offensive line is set for the next decade, essentially, obviously. They got to keep all those guys and yada, yada, yada. Other things that could happen, I don't think they go wide receiver just because they have Justin Fields at quarterback. I feel like they want to go with a run-first approach and building the offensive line. They already have Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. That just seems like that's going to be a fun run game in general. And Tet, obviously, very good player, but I'm not really sure. Jahdae Barron would be an interesting one for this defense, too. Obviously, they lose DJ Reed in free agency, still have Sauce Gardner, but I've been saying it a lot through this process, but Jahdae Barron fits that Brian Branch mold that Aaron Glenn had with the Lions defense. And again, having a guy who you can use as a chess piece is super, super, super helpful. But no, build the trenches. This is Armen Membu. Pretty simple. Panthers on the clock at number 8. Defense. Defense, 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 defense. That's what they need. Because other than Derrick Brown, and I kind of J.C. Horn, they got a bunch of old dudes and a bunch of, like, yeah, that guy's okay, but he's replaceable probably. But yeah, lots of lots of options on the board on defense. Let me see. You got Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, Will Johnson, Jahdae Barron, Malachi Starks. They can go wherever on the board here. But again, it seems like this pick is going to be Jalen Walker. Again, a player I don't really get. I think he was supposed to do some, like, athletic testing recently anyways, or that might be happening, like, today or tomorrow. Like, it was, like, just before the draft when it got, when he was supposed to. So I think we're, like, right in that range. I have no idea, though. But, yeah, if he's going to be, like, one of these tweener hybrid players, like an Andrew Van Ginkle or a Kyle Van Noy, I trust their defensive coordinator, Ajiro Evero, a lot. I just don't think he's been given much talent to really build a defense in the way that he wants to. So Walker, again, put him at off-ball linebacker, put him at edge in some packages. Like, I think that it'll be, it could be fun. Again, drafting tweener players, I think it's tough because not having a defined position in the NFL, just makes it tough. It makes it harder on you, but again, Jalen Walker is the pick here, in my opinion. Not what I would do, but again, I guess I can say what I might do, or maybe, but a guy like Tet McMillan, who they need a true number one wide receiver. They still hope that Xavier Leggett, but other than that, they have Adam Thielen, who's probably almost 50 at this point, and then Jalen Coker, who's a UDFA, who, again, was really, really nice, but like, but again, they're going Jalen Walker here. And next pick, we have the Saints. So, what exactly do the Saints do here? They need everything. They need a quarterback. They need a corner. They literally need everything. I'm not going to list out every position because I could. I don't think this is going to be a quarterback spot, though. I don't see the value in taking Shedeur Sanders at number 9 when your team is such a shit show, the cap is such a shit show. Like, just wait. You don't have to put Sanders in a bad situation and just kind of hope it works. Mickey Loomis is in no danger of losing his job, so I think they go on the defensive side of the ball here. And to me, I think this might be Shamar Stewart. Why I think it's going to be Stewart over guys like Michael and Mike Green is because Stewart has the highest ceiling out of any of those guys. He is just an athletic freak. And again, I talked about Loomis's job security. He can totally just swing for the fences. And if Stewart whiffs, doesn't matter. It's like, oh no, we can just do it again. Like, this team is not good. Like, just take home run swings at this point. And then, yeah, in like, Two more years, you can actually start building a team. And hey, if Stewart wants to be that guy, that's great. And drafting him, you still have Cam Jordan there. That is a great vet mentor who can really teach him the pass rushing trade. They still have Chase Young, who obviously was a highly touted prospect too. I'm sure he could teach Shamar a few things too. But like, I think it's a good room for him to be in and to not... Again, to not have to go in, start immediately. He can sit, he can learn, obviously still be part of that rotation. Other things that might make sense here, again, I don't think quarterback, I don't think Sanders or Jackson Dart. That would be fucking crazy. Tyler Warren's been rumored here, like, a little bit. They gave Juwan Johnson a contract extension, but obviously what Juwan Johnson does and what Tyler Warren does is kind of night and day. I'm pretty sure Juwan Johnson was a wide receiver at Oregon, converted over to tight end, where Tyler Warren is just, yeah, that true throwback tight end who you can put him in line to block, and that's great. They could obviously go corner, but I think that they're kind of hoping that Kool-Aid McKinstry can be their number one starting corner. Again, they're going to give him a shot. Again, this is just kind of like the Saints are just going to try stuff. So that's why I think that they're going with the highest ceiling guy here, and that is Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. Now we're at the Bears. Unfortunately, no Ashton Jeantee for them. That would obviously the pick. That would be a home run pick, but there's plenty of good running backs in this draft. I don't think they go secondary. I think that secondary is good, solid. They've invested heavily in it over the last few years. That's pretty good. Could they go offensive line? Again, they invested a ton in this. They traded for Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson. They signed Drew Dahlman. So I think their interior is pretty good. But then we look at those tackle spots with Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones. A little more iffy. So maybe a guy like Kelvin Banks is in play who could play guard, again, if injury or whatever happens. But why would you draft Kelvin Banks at 10, who he might not even have a position this year, like, to start anyways? So I'm kind of avoiding that. Do they go defense? Do they try to get another edge player to play alongside Montez Sweat? Maybe. But to me, this is where Tyler Warren goes off the board here. Listen, they have Cole Kmet, but I was just saying it with the Saints. There's a difference between what Cole Kmet does and what Tyler Warren does. And Tyler Warren will be able to help out in the run game, help out in pass protection, yada, 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 while still being a good weapon, pass-catching threat. You can put him at fullback. Again, they can do a lot of different things with Tyler Warren, and I think that intrigues someone like Ben Johnson, who put him in the backfield, put him in line, put him out wide. He can do whatever. And I think the Bears' offense at that point, where it's, again, that solid offensive line, Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Tyler Warren, and Cole Kmet, that sounds like a great group of pass catchers to have, in my opinion. So yeah, I think that they go offense, they keep loading up, and they go grab Tyler Warren out of Penn State here. The Niners are on the pick at number 11. The Niners team got completely gutted this season, and they don't need almost everything, but like, they need their young guys to develop, like, really show out. But where their weaknesses really are is that interior offensive line and that defensive line. Like, trenches is a weakness right now for the 49ers. So could they go on defense? Is this where Walter Nolan or Kenneth Grant or Derek Harmon go off the board? Or maybe they go edge to pair up with Nick Bosa, with like a Michael Williams or a Mike Green. I don't know. To me, this is where Kelvin Banks is going to go to, because you still have Trent Williams, Colton McKivitz. Those are your tackles. And then Jake Brendel at center, Dominic Pooney, who was great as a rookie last year. And I don't know who they have in that other left guard spot now that Aaron Banks is gone. But that's going to be Kelvin Banks. And then, hey, if Trent Williams retires next year, Kelvin Banks, slide on over to left tackle, and you're set up, or you're seemingly set up, because everything's a chance, it's a lottery, whatever. But I think Kelvin Banks makes a ton of sense for them. The Niners also have a ton of draft picks, because they play the comp system so well. So I said that they might trade up, and maybe they get Membu in the same situation where, hey, you put him at left guard, and then when Trent's gone, you put him at left tackle, or maybe you just kick Colton McKivitz to the curb and just say whatever. I think the Niners are going to do like some shifting in this draft, whether it's up or down, but I'm going to have them taking Kelvin Banks here, just because I think it makes a lot of sense for them, for their offense and for their future anyway. So Kelvin Banks out of Texas. Now we have the Cowboys in at number 12, and I want to so bad take Shedeur Sanders because he's on the board here. And again, there's like a 5% chance to me that Jerry Jones is so stupid that he will do that and just let Dak play out the rest of his 4 years on his deal. And then, boom, that fifth-year option Shedeur come in and be like, wow, and then have it all fall on his face. But we're not going to do that. The Cowboys are a weird team. They have like the star power and the marquee names. Like, they got Micah Parsons. They got CeeDee Lamb. They got Dak Prescott. Like, I can say they have Trevon Diggs, but he's hurt, and Deron Bland, who had like that phenomenal year 2 years ago when Diggs was hurt. So this is kind of, again, the Cowboys can go almost anywhere. They can go corner, where Will Johnson, Jahdae Barron still on the board. And again, Trevon Diggs has been dealing with injury issues a ton, and I think he's going to be back like midway towards the season. So they do need a number one corner, because I don't think that Deron Bland is a number one corner. I think he's just a ball hawking guy. So if you add a guy like Will Johnson, it's like, oh, that's a good tandem. And maybe like Diggs, you cut or you trade or whatever. I don't know. They need another edge rusher, because right now it's Dante Fowler who they brought back, who had a great season last year in Washington, but like I wouldn't rely on that happening again. So like, again, Mike Williams. But to me, where they're going to go is they're going to go wide receiver. And if this was me, I would be going Tet McMillan, because CD can run all the routes and get open. You can align him anywhere, and then you have Tech McMillan, big body outside receiver. Like, I think that would be a very fun pairing. But unfortunately, I'm not the GM, and I know that's unfortunate for you Cowboys fans, but I will be taking Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas. And yes, I think that Jerry Jones is so stupid to be like, he plays in Texas? We're in Texas. Let's draft him. And that's not a shot at Matthew Golden. I think that Matthew Golden is a good receiver, a wide receiver too, and that's exactly the role he'll be in. They already have CD. You can put Golden in the slot, and he does have that top end speed to take off the top of the defense. That's not really in his repertoire. That's not like his style of play, but it's good to know that it's there anyways if you do just want to send him on a fly and just try to, again, draw the safeties away or something like that. This is, again, I would go Tet. Like, I think Matthew Golden, there's other players similar, in my opinion, to him that you could get later on in the draft that may be better value. But again, Jerry Jones is making this pick, so he's getting the guy from Texas because he likes that. And now we're on to the Dolphins pick at pick number 13. No real like offensive lineman I like on the board. Like, I could reach for Gray Zabel at 13. I think he would be a good fit anyways, but that's a little too rich for me, especially with like some of the talent that's still on the board. A guy like Will Johnson, hey, we're rumored to trade Jalen Ramsey. A guy like Will Johnson, maybe he can be our number one corner. Tet McMillan, if we trade Tyreek, Waddle, Tet, Nick Westbrook, Akine, Malik Washington. That sounds like a fun group of wide receivers anyways. No, like, could go defensive tackle. We need someone desperately to pair with Zach Seiler. And all three of those guys are still on the board. But I'm going to go with Jahdae Barron out of Texas here. Because as I was saying with the Jets and what Aaron Glenn did with Brian Branch in Detroit last year, I think that Anthony Weaver can do similar things with Jahdae Barron, where, yeah, Kader Kohou is like our primary nickel guy, but having a guy like Jahdae who you can line him up outside, you can line him up in the slot, you can line him up at safety, and our safeties absolutely stink right now. Having a guy who can just play in the secondary, be a chess piece, I like it a lot. And again, I talked about, oh, guys without a defined position. I feel like secondary is a little bit different, like compared to like, oh, if you're like edge and linebacker, because like you're doing two completely different things. For secondary, it's just like you're covering or you're in zone. It's, again, as someone who's never played high-level football, tell me if I'm fucking wrong, but I like Jahdae Barron here. Obviously, trenches is a major, major concern for this team right now, but defensive tackle is deep. I'm hoping that we find a guard on day two, but yeah, I'm going to take Jahdae Barron for this team, a guy that I really like a lot, and I think that who could be a very, very good chess piece in the secondary. Now, the Colts at pick number 14. I think this is where I've kind of had like my hardest decisions in the mocks, because yeah, their number one need is a tight end. I don't even know who their tight ends. They still have Mo Alie-Cox. I think they drafted a guy a few years ago in like the sixth who was just really athletic, but I don't think he's panned out into anything. Like, they need a tight end. Like, they just don't have an NFL tight end on the roster. But they could also use interior offensive line. They lose Will Fries and Ryan Kelly, so they're trying to replace those positions, but they're hoping the guys that they drafted last year with Matt Gonclaves and Tanner Bordellini, that those guys step in, fill those roles. So I don't think they go interior offensive line here. Inside linebacker, like maybe edge, but they hope that Leiatu Latu really kind of like takes a next step in his development. I think their linebackers are like solid okay anyways. They've revamped that secondary. So I am going to go tight end, and this is going to be Colston Loveland out of Michigan. He's like right there with Tyler Warren for me. Like throughout this process where it's like Tyler Warren's been my tight end one basically the entire time, and every single time I've like reevaluated my big board, Loveland just kept closing that gap and closing that gap. He's just as big, just as tall, might be a better like natural receiver than someone like Tyler Warren, where Warren's kind of like the more natural blocker. But that's not to say that Colston Loveland can't block. I think that Loveland can develop into a plus side blocker eventually. And yeah, again, the Colts just need a tight end. So it's as simple as that. Obviously, now you look at like the weapons in that offense, where it's Jonathan Taylor, Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Adonai Mitchell, and now Colston Loveland. Those are great weapons to have. Unfortunately, Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones is going to be throwing the ball to those guys. And when I say that, it's going to be hitting their feet or throwing it 5 feet over their head. Those guys will not be catching a ton of passes. But the Colts, if they do pick Loveland, that's like one of the better like skill position like weapons groups in the league, in my opinion, which is like really weird to say. But yeah, next pick, the Falcons are up at number 15. Cut and dry. That's Michael Williams, getting the guy who kind of played in their backyard. They need edge help badly, and Michael, still young, can still develop into a very, very good pass rusher. But even if he doesn't, the bottom line is you might get like one of the best like elite run defender edges in the league. He plays hard. Like, I think he just has like the highest floor out of most of these edge guys who are going to get drafted on day one. It's such an easy pick. They just need defensive line help so badly. They drafted some guys last year, but like didn't really amount to much. So Michael Williams goes in there. good, solid pick. Simple as that. Cardinals at number 16. See, this is where I start having, like, I mean, I just said it with the Colts, but, like, the Colts, like, truly had, like, a true positional need that they wanted to do. And with the Cardinals, it's like, okay, they need help on the interior offensive line. They could use a second wide receiver to pair up with Marvin Harrison Jr., because right now that's Michael Wilson and Zay Jones, and those guys are fine, but they're, like, wide receiver threes and fours for most of the league. They could use some defensive help. They've loaded up kind of on the defensive line side of the ball with bringing in, like, Calais Campbell, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Josh Sweat. They're still hoping that Darius Robinson, who was their first-round pick last year, develops into something more. I like their secondary, too, but they don't have that true number one. So, I'm deciding between Will Johnson and Tet McMillan here. And it's tough because I think that Tet and Marv would kind of play a similar role, even though I think that Marv is, like, the more nuanced route runner and stuff like that. But they did invest in their offense last year. I don't think they go interior offensive line. So I'm just going to say that Jonathan Gannon's going to load up his side of the ball, and they will take Will Johnson. The Will Johnson slide stops. People are worried. They have, like, an injury concern, I think, with his shoulder. Is it his shoulder or his knee or whatever? But Will Johnson, if he gets back to, like, his 2023 tape, that that Cardinals secondary suddenly becomes like, oh, that's a good defense. And I've talked about the Cardinals being, like, a sneaky defense for me going into next season, but I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who they'd have. So it would be, like, Will Johnson, Max Melton, who they drafted on day two last year, Garrett Williams, who I like a lot, Buda Baker, I forget who their other safety is, but, like, that's a good secondary. So they take Will Johnson onto pick number 17 with the Bengals. I'd love to just say fuck it, and they draft Tet McMillan, and they have Jamar T. Higgins and Tet McMillan. Like, that sounds like a ton of fun. Obviously, the Trey Hendrickson thing, just nothing is happening with that. There's been no news. Again, the Bengals are just probably just going to wait, have him play out his last year, and then when T. Higgins signs a contract or doesn't get tagged again, then Trey's going to get tagged. And I think that's honestly probably their plan. And that's why people don't like playing for the Bengals, is because their ownership sucks and their overall philosophy and front office philosophy absolutely stinks too. So could they go edge with Mike Green here? Yeah, but I'm going to continue the Mike Green slide, and I'll talk about him when I do eventually pick him. But could I go interior offensive line? Is this a Tyler Booker or a Gray Zabel? But I've said it before, the offensive line doesn't matter for the Bengals because their defense or their offense scores a million points regardless of a bad offensive line. So I don't think that really helps them that much. Where I am going to go here, I'm going to go with Malachi Starks here. So safety is a weakness for them. They paid Geno Stone last year from Baltimore. He was just okay. And I think Jordan Battles, the other safety, who's like, sure. They've invested a ton in the secondary through the drafts over the last few years. They drafted Dax Hill, they drafted Cameron Taylor-Britt, and they drafted another guy who I can't remember, DJ Turner? I think that sounds right. But they drafted those three guys, and they've played well. It's just health, and they haven't really all been healthy at the same time. So I think they go Malachi Starks here. I think that helps out their secondary a ton. Again, the guy can play all over the field. His change of direction, like, he just keeps his top-end speed. Like, this is a true number one safety who I think can just be an elite player for them for a long, long time. So, yeah, they take Malachi Starks for safety off the board. Seahawks at pick number 18. Interior offensive line, that is the glaring weakness for them right now. Their offensive line has just been an issue for them for years at this point, and they've never really addressed it. And unfortunately for Seahawks fans, they're going to continue to not address it here because Tet McMillan is still on the board. And that's something that I was worried about with this team, is they have JSN, they have Cooper Kupp, but those are two slot guys. Like, who is running these outside routes? They have MVS, but it's Tet McMillan. he, again, you put him on the outside. Again, you just hope that they fix that offensive line in day two, day three. I have no idea. Gray Zabel obviously makes a ton of sense for them there, and I think that's a pick that a lot of people get mocked to them, but I don't think Tet is usually on the board when people pick Gray Zabel, so I'm going with Tet McMillan to hopefully really unlock that offense. And then, yeah, that gives them Tet, JSN, Cooper Kupp. It's a very, very nice trio, in my opinion. The Bucks are on the clock at pick number 19. It's Shahad Campbell. This is exactly the type of player that Todd Bowles loves. Yeah, this is like, I think Campbell is who they wanted like Devin White to be, and obviously Devin White came into the league super hot and then just left the league just as quickly. Starting linebacker for the Raiders right now, which is not good. But yeah, the Bucks desperately need another linebacker. It can't be Lavonte David. Like, Lavonte David is still a good player. He is just very, very old right now, and they need someone to take over for him at some point, and I think Jahad Campbell does all the things that Todd Bowles would want in his defense, and I think that can really take this defense to the next level. So that's the pick for the Bucks. The Broncos on the clock at pick number 20. No wide receivers that I'd really want at this spot. Running back, definitely an option. No Jeanne Tee, so this might be like an Omarion Hampton, Caleb Johnson, maybe a Travion Henderson moment. But I've also had the thought, it's like, maybe they go edge or defensive line. I think that they have a couple guys on that defensive line that are up for contract soon who they might not re-sign. So maybe they just kind of stack the deck and let one of those guys walk and let the rookies play, like, whenever. But it's like, do I want to go different here, or do I want to just pick running back, pick Omarion Hampton, and just kind of be like, okay, we're done with it. Like, it's simple as that. And I think it is as simple as that. So I'm going to go with Hampton here for them. Very good running back out of UNC, and if it wasn't for Jeanne Tee, he would be the number one running back in this class. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do something different here, and I'm going to undo that pick, and I'm going with Travion Henderson. Not one of my favorite backs in this class, but someone who has the elite burst and the getaway speed to break long runs while also being like, can come in, and he's like a really, really good pass protector. And I think that Sean Payton values that a lot, of bringing in a guy, and especially a rookie, who you can play on almost all three downs while still having that getaway speed and that burst to really hit the holes and make a difference. Again, not the flashy, technically it's a flashy pick because I don't think many people are mocking that, especially over Hampton, but I have a weird feeling it could be Travion Henderson, so I'm just going to roll with it. So Travion Henderson off the board to the Broncos, bit of a different thing here. And at pick number 21, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose QB room currently is Mason Rudolph, and I forget who their backup is, but he also stinks, so it doesn't matter. Oh, I think it's Skylar Thompson. Yeah, Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson is their QB room right now. As of right now, Aaron Rodgers still holding them hostage. And with Shador on the clock, they have a decision to make. It's, do we pick Shador, or do we roll with Aaron Rodgers next year? Because I joked about this a couple weeks ago, but I believe anyways that Aaron Rodgers is holding this team hostage till after the draft, where he doesn't want to deal with a rookie quarterback. He wants to just go in there, know that he's the guy, no stress, whatever, can play football his way. And yeah, I think that he's told like the Steelers brass, and he's like, don't draft a quarterback. If you want me there, don't draft a quarterback. And I think there's a very real possibility that Sanders will be on the clock for the Steelers, and they'll have an interesting decision to make. I'm sticking with Aaron Rodgers for this year. Again, I don't think dropping Shador into the Steelers, like, again, I think he would, like, work out, but it doesn't help you immediately. So where I'm going to go for the Steelers is they're going to go Walter Nolan out of... Where's Walter Nolan? There he is. Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss here. I think out of these defensive tackles, he's my defensive tackle 4. But he has a ton of upside. Like, his pass rushing upside is huge. And luckily for him, they still got Cam Hayward there. They still have... I think it's just Cam Hayward. I mean, obviously, they have other guys on that interior. Keanu Benton's, like, a good player, too. But again, learning from Cam Hayward, who's been one of the best interior defensive line players that the league has had for a while, just consistent. He'll be a Hall of Very Good. I mean, no, I don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer. Definitely Hall of Very Good, but they get Walter Nolan here, who can help in... help with the pass rush on the interior anyways, learn from Cam Hayward, not have to play like full snaps all the time. I think it's needed. So Steelers go Walter Nolan. The Chargers are on the clock at pick 22. Seems pretty easy to me. Like, obviously, no tight ends available here. No wide, like, could they go wide receiver? Yes, but I think that they're probably just going to wait. Defensive line, definitely needed, but Kenneth Grant will be the pick out of Michigan. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh used to coach the guy. They need a nose tackle. They just need defensive line players in general. And I think that familiarity with Grant gets it done for the Chargers. Yeah, just an easy pick for the Chargers to make there at 22. So... yeah, we can keep going. At number 23, we have the Green Bay Packers, who are kind of in a weird, like, they think that they're competing, but top-end talent-wise, like, who really is the best player on that team? Like, Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love, Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark. Like, again, none of those guys are true superstars in this league anyways, so they need, again... they're looking to move off Jair. I don't know if that's happening anymore. So corner's still a need. Wide receiver is obviously still a need, but I'm not about to throw another wide receiver 2, 3, 4 into the mix for them there. Edge, because Lucas Van Ness just never panned out. And I've mocked before where I have Donovan Ezeraku going off the board to the Packers here because Jeff Hafley, the Packers defense coordinator, used to coach at BC, used to coach Donovan Ezeraku, so I think that would be a good pick, but I'm going to go with Mike Green finally out of Marshall. So Mike Green is my second edge player on my big board. The reason I have him sliding is because he does have 2 sexual assault allegations that made him leave Virginia Tech. I always say there's a reason he's at Marshall right now, but there comes a point in all drafts, and this is why I had him slide, is because, yeah, I think that he probably could have gone off the board at 8 to the Panthers, but guys with off-field concerns, like, I could maybe see Mike Green slipping even more. I don't know how much teams put into these off-field concerns, and obviously those are big, massive off-field concerns, but... going to Green Bay, where there's nothing to do and nothing around, seems like a good environment to draft a guy like that, I guess. So they get Mike Green. It'll immediately help them off the edge. I think he had 17.5 sacks for Marshall. He's got the burst. He's got the athleticism, like a tad on the older side. I mean, like, not really, but Mike Green, easy slam dunk pick for them. The Vikings at pick number 24. This is when I would be like... trade back, because the Vikings only have 4 picks in this draft. So if someone wants to trade up for Shador or trade up for one of these wide receivers or a tackle or Omarion Hampton, I have no idea. But because I'm not doing trades, but I think this is a perfect spot where the Vikings should trade back, get more draft capital, et cetera, et cetera. The Vikings need secondary help. Harrison Smith is a dinosaur, still playing good football, but he is a dinosaur. The secondary is a little touch and go. I don't think there's a corner Maybe there's a corner. It's do I go Nicomanawari or do I go Savone Revel here? Because I think that Flores would really like Revel. Big press corner, really athletic too. He has that long speed. But a guy like Nicomanawari too, he's kind of a chess piece. Like, he is a safety, but he's got the size and athleticism where you can put him at like linebacker spots and have him blitz. It's an interesting spot, but I will go Nicomanawari here. Future Harrison Smith replacement, I guess. I could see Flores like really loving like the traits and the athleticism and the size for a guy like Nicomanawari while staying away from Revel just because he has like the knee injury. So that's simple. Texans at pick number 25. As much as I would like for them to take Emeka Ogbuka here, I think that would make a lot of sense. And then it would be Nico Collins, Emeka Ogbuka, Christian Kirk, while Tank Dell sits on the sidelines and recovers from his injury. But they can't go into the year with Cam Robinson slated in to be like their like tackle for the whole season. So Josh Simmons is going to be the guy here. I've heard that there's like some off-field concerns about Josh Simmons, and I think it's honestly just because he's a Gen Z and he has a nose piercing. I don't think that there's actual like character concerns other than like these old football guys who are in charge of making those decisions don't like players who might be like a little fruity. But Josh Simmons, damn good football player, obviously coming back from that injury too. I don't know if he's going to be ready for week one. I think it'll be close, but either way, he can sit, you can let Cam Robinson play, and then it's like, ah, Cam Robinson's a disaster a month into the season. You can play Josh Simmons, and all of a sudden like that, it's a young offensive line that's all kind of coming up together. Tyler Booker might be in play here. I mentioned Emeka Ogbuka. But, yeah, I think that they go Josh Simmons, get their hopefully left tackle of the future. The Rams are up here. Who do I have the Rams taking? Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the guy. So they can need a linebacker, but, like, there's no linebackers worth taking here. Corners in need. I could see them taking Revel, but, like, maybe. I don't know. Offensive tackle, not an immediate need, but Rob Havenstein's not getting any younger. Obviously, they just paid Alaric Jackson. So I like the idea of them going after Josh Connerly out of Oregon here. I really like Josh Connerly. He's newer to the position anyways, but basically just every year at Oregon, he keeps getting better. Like if you looked at, I don't know who they played in week one, but like Oregon week one versus Oregon in the playoffs, like he looks like a completely different player, and you're just banking on that potential that he just continues to rise and not stagnate. And yeah, he can just kind of sit a year behind Havenstein and Jackson, learn from them, and then if Havenstein retires or they move on from him, boom, he can plug Connerly in right there. I'm not like, again, like I think that the Rams should go for something that's more of a immediate like help, like not draft a guy who's going to sit there, but draft someone who can help this team win immediately because they are obviously in their win now mode. They still think they can win another Super Bowl with Stafford and Puka and Devontae Adams. So we'll see anyways. Next team up, we have the Ravens at pick number 27. Could obviously use another wide receiver, interior offensive line. Is looking like kind of iffy now that they lost Patrick McCarry. Could use another corner. I'm not going to go there. Defensive line edge. We know that the way that the Ravens play this defense, it's a lot of guys switching in and out. But I'm going to go with Tyler Booker for them here. Like I could go Derek Harmon or Gray Zabel. Gray Zabel's still sliding. Like that. I really like Gray Zabel, and I think that he will. Like again, he's going to be a first round pick. I mean, I'm going to have him picked. I think the next pick, literally. But I'm going to go Tyler Booker here, because Tyler Booker, again, it seems like the Ravens have these guys that slide to them every year, and there's some weird concern over what they do. Tyler Linderbaum, I think it was like a size concern. It would be like, oh, I don't know if he can play, and boom, one of the best centers in the league. Kyle Hamilton, oh, is he athletic enough to play and move? And yeah, Kyle Hamilton, one of the best. Like, the Ravens, like the Eagles, seem to always have someone fall to them, and the Ravens always draft big school players, and Tyler Booker fits that mold at Bama. And yeah, they're not going to have him swinging outside and pulling on runs, but he's just going to be an ass kicker on that interior who will just be moving whoever's in front of him out of the way. I thought that his athleticism concerns were completely overblown, and him going to the Ravens, where the Ravens like these big guards who, again, they don't really need to move, but who can just push people. Because you look at that run game with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, you have Tyler Booker now making holes for both of those guys. I like it a lot. I think that Booker immediately helps this team out on offense. Easy pick for me there. So Tyler Booker, number 28, or at number 27. And now we are at the Lions, where I do have a decision to make. Edge is obviously a big, big need. They have Aiden Hutchinson. They brought back Marcus Davenport. But, like, that's not that great. Interior offensive line is also a need, because right now it's their interior offensive line is Graham Glasgow, Frank Ragnow, and then Christian Mahogany, who they drafted in, I think, the sixth round last year, who I don't know how comfortable they are with him starting right away. But to me, I see someone like Gray Zabel on the board, and when I was deciding, it was between Gray Zabel and Donovan Ezeraku. I think Gray Zabel kind of fits the mold of what the Lions want to do, and he has that positional versatility too, where, yeah, he's played all five positions, but on the interior, he can play those three spots as well, where Frank Ragnow's had his injury issues over the past year. It's like, yeah, kick Gray Zabel in at center. He can learn that too. Graham Glasgow is not getting any younger, so he can take over for him eventually. But right away, he can start over Christian Mahogany and keep one of the best offensive lines in the league as one of the best offensive lines in the league. The Commanders up at number 29. This could be James Pierce. This could be Emeka Ebuka. I kind of like Omarion Hampton to them too. Again, to me, this is an ultimate trade-out spot. They do not have a lot of draft picks. They have two picks in the first two rounds, 29 and 61, and then their next pick is at 128. So this is obviously a trade-back spot for them. Again, if someone wants to trade up for one of these quarterbacks, go for it. No trades in this mock, though. So what am I trying to decide between? So this is between James Pierce and Emeka Ebuka, in my opinion. What do I want? What do I want to do? What do I want to do? Because I don't want, because I'm going to end up taking James Pierce for the Eagles, just because, oh, someone fell to the Eagles, and of course, but I think that they need a wide receiver more than they do another edge player. Obviously, they still need edge players, but the off-field stuff from Pierce and the compete issues and whatever, I think they should go with Emeka Ebuka here, pair him up with Terry McLaurin, give Jaden Daniels more weapons to throw to. Again, because that wide receiver room, it's they have Scary Terry, they traded for Debo, but Debo's just a gadget player, and then after that, it's Luke McCaffrey. Sure. So yeah, you take Ebuka, have him be your number two, have him do the grit, grindy, dirty work type stuff that he does best. And all of a sudden, like, I think that passing attack for the Commanders looks much, much better. I kind of want to take Hampton too, because I think Brian Robinson's like a fine back. Austin Eckler's obviously getting older, and he's like, again, he's a fine back for his age, and Hampton would give them a little bit more juice in that run game. I think they will add a running back, but I will take Ebuka here. The Bills at pick number 30. This is where, like, again, maybe they add to their edge James Pierce, Donovan Ezeraku, maybe Derek Harmon on that interior defensive line. But to me, they need a corner. They don't have like a true number one outside corner, and this is where Savone Rivell will go, one of my favorite players in this class. I think Bills fans would love him. Like, I think that the Bills, like, mold for, like, they have a lot of, like, small corners right now, and I think that Revel will be ready for week one, maybe training camp, probably training camp, actually. These athletes are fucking freaks. So he will be ready for that, and that, again, that helps them out immediately, and if Revel is who I think he is, that's a huge, huge boost to this defense, who has been really lacking like a number one corner. And like, I know we like Taron Johnson a lot. Taron Johnson is awesome, but he's also a nickel. And it's also, is he a nickel? I always say that, but let me just take a look at this Bills depth chart. I don't think it changes anything of what I actually like want to do for them, because I think that Revel's just the pick anyways. Yeah, like right now they have Trey White slotted in as like one of their other corners, and that can't happen. So, yeah, they go with Revel off the board here. I think that helps that defense out a ton. And now we are on to the Kansas City Chiefs. And unfortunately for the Chiefs, they have no tackles, no offensive tackles on the board anyways, in my opinion, that are worth grabbing. So they are hoping that Jalen Moore, who they signed over for San Fran, can be that guy. And that Kingsley Suamataia can slide in at guard and he'll be fine. Because, yeah, I'm not taking Ursary here. So, what do they need? What do they need? What do the Chiefs need? They could take Hampton here. But, again, I think that that's too much of, like, a luxury pick. And the Chiefs are obviously in the realm of having luxury picks. But, like, again, I think that they should wait on this. And to me, like, I look on that interior defensive line, like, it's Chris Jones, and then it's just kind of, like, no one else. And I think that Chris Jones needs some help, because he's not getting any younger either. And this is where Derek Harmon goes. Derek Harmon, my DT2 in this class. I don't think he has a high of a ceiling as someone like Kenneth Grant or Walter Nolan, but his floor is much higher, and he's also, like, again, I think that Walter Nolan isn't a great run defender, but he is a really good pass rusher, where Kenneth Grant isn't a great pass rusher, but he's a great run defender, where Derek Harmon's kind of the best of both, where he's good run defender and a good pass rusher. He just doesn't have, like, the high-end on either side, but hey, that's why you have Chris Jones there. So Chris Jones, Derek Harmon, paired up next to George Karlaftis, and who's their other D-end? Who is their other D-end? Because now it's like, oh, is this James Pierce? Mike Dana? Charles Menehue? They still have Felix Enudike Uzoma, who they drafted in the first round in 2023, but I like Derek Harmon here. Help out Chris Jones in that interior. We saw the Eagles kick the shit out of them in that run game. They need to get after the quarterback, so Derek Harmon helps them a ton. And finally, the Eagles at pick number 32. I'm going to let James Pierce slide here. I'm going to let him fall to day two, because I think that there's a decent chance that that actually happens. I'm intrigued by Luther Burden here, and then having A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Luther Burden, but this isn't a pass-first team, so why draft Luther Burden to be your, like, third wide receiver when you don't pass the ball that much anyways? So this is where Donovan Ezeraku is going for me. Again, a pass rush technician out of BC. I forget what his sack numbers were this year, but again, he will come in and immediately just be like a solid edge rusher. He doesn't have the high ceiling as some of these other guys have, but I think that he can be like a 8-10 sack guy consistently throughout his career. He has like a knack for it. Not the biggest guy, but again, has all the moves in the world, still decently athletic anyways. So The Eagles need help. They don't really need help on that defensive line. They're banking on a lot of their younger guys who they've drafted before to step up in these positions, but I think getting Ezeraku here, who is like a clear cut and dry edge, would be interesting for them. So that is the mock draft. Let me know if you have any thoughts. It was a good one. I think that Sanders will be picked in the first round. I'll say that. I just, again, no trades, and I don't, why would any of these other teams take him? Like, really. The Steelers kind of made sense, but I like my Rodgers reasoning a little bit more. But that's it. Draft season is done. I can't believe it. I'm very, very excited for Thursday and Friday and yada, 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 and so on and so forth. Next week, I will be doing very, way too early draft winners and losers, basically going over kind of some of my favorite picks or favorite draft classes in general of the draft. I'm hoping that there's good weather in Green Bay this weekend, because, like, if it's anything, like, the weather here has just been kind of, like, we're getting up to, like, 12, 10 degrees, and it's, like, it's fine, but, like, you don't want to be standing outside in that, especially if it's like a gray, cloudy day. So hopefully the weather's good in Green Bay. Very, very excited for the draft, but I will end the episode here. As always, if you've liked this, please like, share, retweet, subscribe, tell your friends, and until next time, peace.